The following is a RackRadioShow.com exclusive.
And welcome to the Rack Extra Reviews right here on WildTalkRadio.com. It is the Royals Edition. He's Rock, I'm Lindsay, and we're back with episode 8 of The Royals, and oh my god, just oh my god, what was this episode, and how do I get more? Because this was an episode.
What I enjoy right now about The Royals is at the beginning of the episode, they give you a sneak peek of sort of what the events were, and then backtrack.
Yeah, I like how they're doing that this season, and holy crap, Max Brown, just holy crap. He's like hitting everything right now in terms of just being so good this season. I mean, seriously, he's making this season for me.
He is making the season, but this whole episode was, I feel like he was in a minor part, but at the same point, a huge part of this episode.
He was very much in a reduced role in this episode, but when he was on, it was impactful.
Oh, yeah.
And that's very key, is whenever he shows up, you know something is going to go down. And things went down in this episode. So we're just gonna dive right into it. And we start with full steam ahead for the wedding. Willow is having to face, I guess, an accession council? I'm not entirely sure what it is, but she's having to face essentially a tribunal where they're asking her all kinds of questions about the monarchy and the Henstridge family, and she's having to basically list off all these facts to demonstrate her knowledge of the royal family and the royal rules and that kind of thing. And they ask her the question of, well, what are the monarch's rights? And that is the right to be consulted, the right to warn, and I've heard 100 times, I should know it. And I forget what the third one is, but the fourth, but then they say, you know, she's like, well, the monarch has a fourth right, should things go south? And they're like, well, what's that one? And she's like, the right to rule, which is what Robbie's done.
Mm-hmm.
So that's interesting. But she's stressing about the council because she finishes, and she's like, oh, I have one more day, and I have to study because they're going to ask me one more question, and I don't know what it is. And she's freaking out about it. And Eleanor's like, yeah, chill. Because, you know, Willow goes right to Eleanor, who is hanging out with Jasper, and Jasper's getting ready for Robbie's stag party. He doesn't want to go.
Would you want to go? You fair to mention, so when Willow walks in, she's basically straddling Jasper at this point.
Yeah, they're getting ready to bang.
Bang, bang,
bang, bang, bang, bang, bang. And she's like, oh my, this is awkward. And Eleanor's like, yeah, no, it's cool.
It's cool. We're good. Nothing's going on. Just here, straddling my boyfriend, that's all.
Yeah, and Willow's like, I don't want to do this anymore. Can I not do this anymore? And Jasper's like, yeah, cool, call the wedding so I don't have to go to this stupid party, because I don't want to go. And Eleanor's like, you're going.
You're going. Just go.
Just do it.
And she's like, don't punch anyone. And he goes, can I punch Liam? And she's like, yeah, sure.
Yeah, go for it.
Go for it. And Will's like, is Jasper having problems with Liam? And it's like, no, he just asked to punch him. He's just feeling a little punchy, that's all.
Yeah, he's feeling punchy.
Oh.
It's Jasper.
It's Jasper.
I liked how she was like, well, you know, I'll be back later, and I may be drunk and very agreeable.
Right.
It's like, oh god. So anyway, so Willow's like so glad that she's not having a hen party because she's like, they're so awkward and nobody ever wants to go to them, and you just play these stupid games, and you know, she has so much she has to study for, and Eleanor's like, oh no, we're not doing that. So essentially what happens is Eleanor and Helena throw Willow a surprise hen party, which is massages and champagne and a ginormous chocolate fountain, like the biggest chocolate fountain ever.
Oh my god, the chocolate fountain. Oh my god.
That was cool.
I want chocolate. I really wanted chocolate.
I had to get my sixlets out after that because I was like, oh, I need chocolate. But yeah, and the best part is they look at her and they're like, you'll be in bed early. So no partying, no nothing, all very relaxing, all very soothing, and you can go to sleep early. So you're ready to go for tomorrow.
They're being courteous. They're being courteous. That's a very good
And Willow's like, ah, and she relaxes. So we cut to the stag party. And who shows up but Cyrus with some pretty nifty shoes?
Go ahead.
He discovers a loophole. He can't be on British soil, but, you know, if he puts Venezuelan soil in his shoes, and then he's, you know, standing on the Venezuelan soil, like, and when I say in his shoes, I mean, the soil is, like, in a clear sole under his wingtip shoe. So he's not technically standing on English soil. He's standing on Venezuelan soil on top of England. So that is his loophole. And Robbie does not appreciate his loophole.
Told him, get out. Don't just leave. And well, that was not the case.
That was not the case, no. So basically, Liam uses Robert's own words, which is, you know, nothing is too broken that it can't be fixed. And Robbie's like, I didn't mean this. And he's like,
nothing more important than family.
Nothing's more important than family, and Cyrus is family, so Robbie ends up having to let Cyrus stay for the party, begrudgingly. And Robbie is none too happy about having Jasper there either. And Liam gives Jasper some advice, which is, you know, if you come into direct competition with my brother, just let him win, because, you know, king. And of course, Jasper can't do that.
It's like, take a dive, man. Take a dive. And he's like, no, no. So what does the con man do? He cons the king.
He cons the king in front of God and everybody and beats him at pool. And there's some strutting, and there's some insults being thrown, and there's some things being measured right there on the table. Basically, who has the bigger stick? And yeah, it's just more butting heads between Robbie and Jasper, which is always fun to watch.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. But he was so nonchalant about it. It's like, yeah, I'm just, you know, maybe I was just lulling you into a sense of security and yada, yada, yada. I was like, oh, you're just being a dick to be a dick. Fantastic.
Who, Robbie or Jasper?
Jasper.
Oh yeah, Jasper has this real just, about, you know, I don't even know how, like you said, nonchalance about him where he's just like, yeah, yeah, maybe I was just screwing with you all along and I'm really about to beat you. You know, and it's like, I love that about him. Where there's just that that confidence, that natural confidence there, where he's like, I'm better than you think I am. Like, you think you've got me, you don't. And that's the thing about Jasper. Mm-hmm. You never know.
You never know.
Dude may be a lot of things, but stupid is not one of them. So then we cut back to the hen party, and we see Willow getting her massage. She's relaxing, and she's talking to the masseuse, and, you know, they're just having a really nice conversation. And I forget exactly how it happened, but essentially the masseuse turns out to be Cassandra.
Yeah, I think she went for, like, a kiss or something, like, when her face had the cucumbers on it.
Oh, that's right, that's right. Willow rolls over, and they put the cucumbers on her face, and then Cassandra tries to kiss her, and Willow freaks out, and she takes the cucumbers off, and there's Cassandra. And the two kind of exchange barbs, and then Cassandra and Willow kind of topples over, and Cassandra reveals that the oils that she had put into Willow's skin are laced with LSD. So Willow's early night suddenly went from early to tripping balls really quick.
Yeah, it did. So you know that plan, that well thought out plan of a simple evening? Yeah, no.
No. Yeah, no, that didn't happen. So they end up where Helena gets hold of Willow, who's running around essentially in a sheet, butt naked, and she bursts into the room. I think where Helena and Eleanor both are.
No, Eleanor finds her.
That's right. Eleanor finds her.
And then she brings her back to her room. And then Helena bribes Eleanor to watch her and say, what are you going to give me? What are you going to give me?
She gets a horse out of it.
She gets a horse. But the best moment of this whole episode, Helena is saying goodbye to Willow, and she just pokes the queen's boobs and goes, nice tits.
Yep. Helena's just like,
she was done. God. She was done.
She's so done.
She's like, make sure she doesn't do anything.
Keep her safe.
Keep her safe.
And Eleanor's like, yeah, okay, I'm about to have a lot of fun. So we cut back to the stag party, and well, Queen wasn't the only one who tried to get poked. Cyrus decides he's going to hit on Jasper, who's having none of it. And Cyrus has no idea who Jasper is. Basically, Jasper has to fill him in, where he's like, yeah, I'm banging your niece.
I saved the king?
Cyrus is like, yeah, I don't care. Do you want to bang or not?
Because Cyrus was very turned on at how Jasper handled Robert.
Yep.
So, yeah, he hasn't had any, you know, companionship in a while since he's been exiled, so he was looking to get some.
Don't blame him. Jasper's attractive. He's just not feeling it.
He don't swing that way.
He's very much into Eleanor, and it would be very awkward if Jasper banged Eleanor, especially after he banged her mother, so.
But the bang, bang, bangity bang in that whole family is just an awkward situation to begin with.
Yeah, there's some awkward choices going on in that family. So, we then cut to Willow's trip, which includes acting like a ghost as Eleanor chases her through the tunnels, and she knocks herself out on a stone wall because she's covered in a sheet and she can't see where she's going, and Eleanor takes a selfie with her.
As you do.
Like you do. Dancing, and then setting herself on fire, which is what causes her to run away in the first place. Meanwhile, Eleanor is, like, screwing with her the entire time that she's on the trip. Because she's like, yeah, okay, I might as well have fun with this. And that's what she does. And I have to compliment the girl that plays Willow for the way that she did this whole thing.
Oh, it was fantastic.
She did a wonderful job with this.
Her tripping out was great.
It was very well done. So congratulations to her on that. And so while this is all going on, Eleanor reveals to Helena that she's the Robin Hood.
Because she mentioned, you remember that pen that I said I found in your room? Well, I kind of sort of gave it away, and well, I'm the Robin Hood, and they have a whole conversation about honesty, and doesn't it feel good not to lie to each other?
And Helena's like, yeah, yeah, totally, totally, the entire time thinking, oh crap, I screwed her best friend, crap.
I've screwed her boyfriend and her best friend, mother of the year.
Yep, never mind the disowning her and declaring her a bastard and all this other stuff.
Right.
We should also mention that Willow also sees Eleanor as the Wicked Witch.
That was great. She's like, is everything going to be okay? Yeah, yeah. And then the trip makes her say no, and she turns into the Wicked Witch.
Yeah, she's like, witch, mean witch, ugly witch. And Eleanor's like, oh. She kind of comes out of it a little bit, but she's still very much under the influence of the LSD. So she's still having somewhat of a trip, but she starts to sober up a little bit. So then we cut back to the stag party. Robert kicks Jasper out because he wants to talk to the real men. Funny Robert. And this is where he basically reveals his master, or part of his master plan for the country. And that is that Parliament is not going to be reformed. He has disbanded Parliament permanently, and he is taking over ruling the country. And he's basically going to Game of Thrones this stuff, where they go back to a feudal system, and he has regional kings, which is everybody at the table, that will share, in quotations, in his reign, but he's going to be head king in charge.
Yeah.
That is his master plan. So, you know, and basically the only price for this, if you want in, is to be loyal to the king, the head king. That's it, supposedly. And Cyrus is sitting there like he's seen God. Because he's like, holy crap, it's brilliant. It's almost like, damn, I wish I'd thought of that.
Yeah, yeah, a little jealousy there.
A little jealousy, like, and you have to admit, it is brilliant. Like, the whole way that he did it is brilliant. You can't fault Robbie for that. But Cyrus gets up and then gives this speech where he's like, well, I was the king, and I can tell you that I didn't give a crap about anybody at this table. And I promise you, neither does he. And what's going to happen when he wants something that you have, or you're disloyal, or, you know, basically, what is going to protect you from him? And the answer is nothing, because Parliament was your protection. The House of Lords was your protection from the king. And now that's gone. So there's nothing stopping him from screwing you over. And you can't do a damn thing about it. And so Cyrus basically urges everybody, you know, stand against him, tell him no. You know, the time for violence is now. And right when he says the time for violence is now, out of nowhere, Liam comes and smashes a bottle over his head and then proceeds to beat him up in front of God and everybody with his bare fists, screaming, you want violence, I'll give you violence, and just beating his face until Cyrus is knocked unconscious and they have to drag him out.
Great. Great stuff. Great scene. And what was the key was that right before, you know, he gets up, he noticed there was an empty seat at the table right next to the king.
Mm-hmm.
And then after the fight's over, that's the seat Liam ends up sitting in, right next to Robert. As Robert says, where he always belonged.
And he pats Liam on the shoulder and walks off, and Liam just smirks. So then we go back to Willow, and Willow's come out of the... Basically, Willow's hiding in the closet.
No,
Eleanor wakes up. She goes...
No, you're missing a part.
What?
No, there was a part in between the power play stuff that happened. The chocolate fountain.
Oh, the chocolate fountain. How could I forget? The chocolate fountain. Okay, so Willow's wandering around the palace. She's still kind of half-drugged. And she comes into the room with the chocolate fountain, and she's basically licking chocolate off her fingers, and... who she thinks is Cassandra walks in and calls her ugly, and then Cassandra's basically, like, running her down, like, you know, you don't deserve to be queen, and, you know, I forget all the insults she threw.
Just a bunch of nasty insults.
It was just a bunch of nasty insults, and it's almost like it's Willow's own mind playing a trick on her, and she proceeds to get, she pushes Cassandra essentially into the fountain and starts fighting Cassandra in the fountain, and she's like, you know, you did this because you don't want to be queen, you want to take him for yourself, you know, this is all your fault, and Cassandra starts screaming, you know, and Willow's like, how dare you call me ugly, and she's like, no, I said lovely, and Willow keeps, like, dunking her face in the chocolate until finally she pulls her up, and it's not Cassandra, it's Helena.
She was trying to drown the queen in a pool of chocolate.
And Helena's like, I said lovely, and Willow, like, gets up, and she's like, oh, crap, and Helen is, like, covered head to toe in chocolate, and at this point, Eleanor walks in, and Eleanor's like, oh, crap. And the queen just looks at her, and she's like, you are so not getting a horse.
Great.
It was fantastic. It's like, nice. So nice. So then Helena walks off covered in chocolate, and she goes into her room for the night to get cleaned up. And Willow and Eleanor go back to her room. Eleanor cleans her up. And Willow asks what's the best thing about being royal. And Eleanor says, essentially, you know, the way they look at you when you walk into a room. And she's like, well, what's the worst? And Eleanor's like, it's the way they look at you. So it's a really sweet moment between the two.
It is.
And then we kind of move to the next morning where Eleanor wakes up. She slept on the couch. Willow's not in the bed again. And it's like, oh, crap. And so Eleanor calls out for Willow, and she's in the closet hiding.
Hiding out in the closet. Yeah.
So Eleanor gets her out of the closet. They climb in bed together, and Willow admits it was Cassandra who drugged her. And Eleanor's like, yeah, remind me to ruin that bitch after I've slept for about 3 days.
Which is great.
And she's like, oh, yeah, by the way, that, you know, you have to do the council meeting in like 30 minutes. And Willow's like, yeah, I know, but I don't want to do it. And Eleanor looks at her and goes, you have to, because if you don't, you're always going to wonder. And the what ifs are worse than the failures, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, at least if you did it, you know that you did everything you could. But the what if is, well, you know, you didn't do anything at all. So then you wonder the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And she doesn't want that honor. And so that kind of convinces Willow to go. And Eleanor helps her get cleaned up. And we cut to Willow at the council, essentially dressed like Eleanor, which is pretty awesome. It was a good look on her.
It was.
It was a really good look. So they're all kind of looking at her, raising an eyebrow, and they're like, are you ready? And she's like, no, go ahead and ask whatever the hell you're going to ask. And they're like, oh, okay. And then they ask her, essentially, what would make you a great queen? And she had the best response. It was, shit, I don't know. Like, there you go. And then she does a really great speech about, you know, how she doesn't really care about being queen. Will she, you know, that's not her top priority.
Mm-hmm.
It's, will she do make every effort to be as good of a queen as all her predecessors? Yes, she will. She will uphold the honor of the family. She will uphold the honor of the crown, but that's not her main concern. Her main concern is what Robbie thinks of her and her being in love with him and that whole relationship and how that comes first for her instead of the crown. And then she, if she has to be with him, she'll be a queen to do it.
Yeah, and then she walks off.
And then she's like, I've had a very long night. I'm still possibly under the influence of a Class A narcotic, and I miss my fiance. Peace.
So peace out. I'm out. See ya. Bye.
And she gets up and she walks off.
Mm-hmm.
So then she meets up with Robbie, and Robbie, you know, is looking at her like, oh, you ran into my sister. And she's like, yeah, why was Cassandra in the palace last night, and why is she coming after you? Because, you know, she thinks something's going on, and Robbie's like, well, you know, she's very, very manipulative, and nothing's going on, and she was here a few weeks ago, and Willow's like, well, why didn't you tell me? And he's like, well, because nothing came of it. And she's like, well, but you should have told me. I'm your fiancé. And he's like, oh, you know, she's like, I want to believe in, basically, she's like, I want to believe in us, but it's not easy. And he says, well, you can, you know, it's all legit. It's all above board. And she's like, okay, fine. No more secrets. And they say no more secrets. And I assume she leaves then to go pass out.
Yeah.
Probably at that point. So then we go to Liam and Cyrus.
Yeah. What?
Here's where we took a left turn, y'all.
Left turn.
Cyrus is standing up on the Venezuelan embassy. He's looking out over the London Bridge and the Thames, and he's seeing all the traffic, and there's the Houses of Parliament and everything like that. And he's looking at all of this, and we cut over and we see Liam standing next to, or not like directly next to him, but by him on the roof. And Cyrus is like, I think you broke my nose, you prick.
And he's all has all his a bloody face, stitches everywhere. Yeah.
And Liam's like, well, it was totally worth it, because we're in.
It's like, you disrespected the king. But yeah, we're in. He bought it. And I was, so like, here, I was like, wait, bought what?
Yeah, bought what? It's like, wait a minute, wait.
What?
Wait, so they're still working together this whole time. And Cyrus goes, I told you Parliament wasn't permanent. Like, just like I told you, he caused the blackout. And Liam's like, well, can we prove it? And Cyrus is like, well, no, we can't prove it. But here, meet my new friend Aston. He can prove everything. So it's like, ooh, the plot thickens.
It does.
But Liam wasn't done with secret rendezvous.
Oh, no.
And he wasn't done with setups.
Oh, no.
Because we cut to Liam in, like, basically down in, like, a shady part of town near a canal, and he's waiting for someone, and that someone happens to be Catherine, who walks up, and they kind of replay the scene between her and Robert a little bit, where he's like, I didn't think he'd come, and they cut back to Robbie and her, and then they cut back to her, and she's like, I didn't want to, and, you know, they kind of play back off of that to remind you of all of that, and then Liam's like, but my girl is one hell of a liar.
And there's the show.
And there's the show. It's like, oh, and they kiss. And he looks at Catherine and he goes, we're in. And he kisses her. And it's like, oh, okay. So Liam's playing a game.
Things just got interesting.
It's like, oh, okay. All right. We're doing a little keep your friends close and your enemies closer kind of thing here. Okay.
Okay. I got it.
All right. Go, Liam.
So what's the play? I don't know. When is it next week yet?
I know, right? It's like, you cannot leave me hanging.
This
just
was such a cliffhanger.
This was great. This was so great.
These type of cliffhangers is what makes this show awesome. Because now you know the final two episodes, there's a plan. Liam has a plan. He's working with Cyrus. Catherine is still in play. What the hell is going on?
I don't know. But I want to find out. The fact that we have to wait a week. We have to wait a week.
Seven days.
God, such an inconvenience.
Such an inconvenience.
But what? Y'all, this episode was everything. I cannot, as you can tell, we can't wait for next week. But, it's like, you could tell last week they were setting stuff up.
But not this.
But not this. Not this. So it's like, what else is going to happen? I don't know.
Liam is masterminding something.
Liam is trying to outplay his brother. We'll see if he can manage it.
It's all a game of chess. This whole show is about a game of chess.
Or a Game of Thrones.
No, that was a whole reference for chess, because remember in the one season where Robert and his father...
Yeah, I got the reference, but they're playing a game for the throne. So it's a Game of Thrones. Get it?
I like Game of Chess better.
Okay, fine. I think that does it for us. What do you think?
Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Rack Radio Show. Subscribe. Like it. Follow it. Leave a comment. Leave a review. 5 stars. Give a thing on the Instagram or the iTunes. That'd be cool. Make sure you listen to the Rack Extra Reviews Timeless. Make sure you listen to Rack every Thursday at 10 p.m. Eastern at Wild Talk Radio. And also Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network.
You can follow me on Twitter at Linsward, LNSWRD, and go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. If you'd like my artwork, if you'd like to view my artwork, it is available for your viewing pleasure at behance.net/Linsward, same as the Twitters. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to the Rack Extra Reviews right here on wildtalkradio.com, and we will be back next week with The Royals in Episode 9. So till then, bye!